Are you a leader in customer success, pre-sales, professional services, support? Do you work behind the scenes and roll up your sleeves to make sure that customers are happy? Renew. Then this is for you. Welcome to the GSD Podcast.
Welcome to the GSD Podcast.
Getting it done. Services, success, and software. We'll talk with the pros that have been in the trenches, getting service teams off the ground, launching new types of groups to service customers, or running agencies that don't have a product attached to it. For the pros, by the pros.
This is the GSD Podcast, and this is your host, Jeff Kushmerick.
Hey, it's Jeff. Just wanted to thank you for tuning in again. I think most of you know Christy Feltarusso. Does a ton in the community. She had a ton of experience as well. Also, just has a great opinion, not afraid to hold say her own. She doesn't hold back. And this was a great episode. It was like a Monday morning. It was Tuesday after vacation. It was 9 o'clock, and Christy brought the heat. So there's a lot of great stuff in here. I have some captured in the notes, but Christy and I and some others, we just want people to bring their game up a little bit and be a force in the boardroom, as we say, and get recognized for all that we do and all that our departments and organizations do. So definitely give this a listen. Break out your notebook. There's tons of great tips. It's not just fire. There's also like, and this is how you solve the problem. And I loved it. And there's like a million quotes that I got out of this when I was re-reviewing the transcript. So enjoy, and we'll see you on the next one. All right. So as usual, we've been talking for a while and all warmed up, but I should probably now hit record and introduce Christy Feltarusso from Client Success and many other, which I'm going to let her talk about in a second here. And we're here to talk about a concept that's pretty near and dear to our hearts, and we're already fired up to talk about it. But Christy, give us the 3 minute on why are you an expert in this field to talk about this particular subject?
Oh gosh, all right, give quick background. So been in the customer success space for the past decade, a little just over a decade, I guess now. Have worked at 5 different organizations where I build, scale, or transform customer success. That's kind of my sweet spot. I love a hyper growth company, anywhere from 20 million to 85 million. I'm a builder. So love to be a part of establishing what great customer success could look like and the impact it could have on a business. I am already so pumped for this conversation. I don't talk anymore about myself. I am currently the chief customer officer at Client Success. We are a customer success management software. So we help our customers from new to renew manage that entire post-initial sales lifecycle. So really excited to be here today, Jeff, and I can't wait to get started.
Oh, I know. So some background for this conversation. Christy and I were at a super spreader event. Sorry, we were at Gainsbury Pulse. Super spreader for the non-COVID, although I think if I told people I have COVID, I'd get more. So there's lots of drinking and pausing, and I've got like my cough drops all lined up, even though it's been like 3 weeks since Pulse. But and you know, I think we all really enjoyed the conversations that were happening, everything, but there's this one theme that just kept popping up because, you know, I feel like all of the presentations at Pulse were like, show value to your customers, show value to your customers, which I think is great for your, you know, hey, you're 3 to 5 years in and you got sent out to a conference and you need to hear some of this stuff. But then for all of us who are, let's just say, having side conversations and things like that, we're like, we really need to tell these people to get their game on, right? And then we started talking about podcast topics, and I always say, what's something that you're passionate about? And we just dove right into this, which is essentially, you have to step up your game and be a leader for your team. And there's a couple concepts around that. So I'm gonna stop, Christy, because I'm gonna let you just like launch into it, because you're just itching to go right now.
All right, well, listen, here we'll start with this concept, Jeff, because I think you and I are on the same page with this. But the one thing I keep hearing that drives me crazy is we need customer success to get a seat at the table. Jeff, I mean, listen, if people aren't looking around and realizing that we have a seat, they are not taking advantage of their spot there, That's a bigger issue. Right? Yeah. Have a seat. If you look at it, right? I think somebody, I don't even remember what company did it. They did a survey and did a study on how many chief customer officers there are now, what that growth has looked like over the past 5 years. We have a seat, yeah, right? Absolutely. There are more chief customer officers. There are more revenue titled people that are owning customer success in the C-suite than yeah. there ever had been before. So we have our seat. I think, Jeff, we need to tell people what they need to do now that they're there.
It's the ownership, right? Because I hear these two things all the time, and we both sell into CS leaders. So we hear, oh, I don't have the budget. Or I have even a worse one. And I have one customer that listens to this. It's not you. There's four of you. So don't think it's just you. But it's like, I have budget approved, but then I have to go ask the CTO to spend that budget. And I'm like, you're responsible for, like, I'll just say a percent of, like, 60% of the revenue right now, right? So is sales begging you to go ask for something? Like, does dev say, oh, please, can we just have, and they're like, no, it does not. Like, so there's that aspect of things, right? Which is like, you just need to step up and own it and say, no, we are a revenue producing group and we need this software or these hires or whatever to be able to get successful with what we need to do with this group.
So Jeff, let me just tell you, before joining Client Success, right, I had to purchase customer success software. Fortunately, mm-hmm. here I don't have to. I get to use my own.
Yep.
But at four other companies over the past decade, I have been able to secure north of six figures to get customer success software in place at every company.
Yeah.
The last two, within my first 4 months in the company as a new leader in a new function that hadn't been there before.
Yeah.
Jeff, you have to, all these CS leaders, they have to be able to understand the math behind yeah. what we actually own. And
it's
that's
great math. It's crazy.
Here's the thing. And I am the last math person out there. Like, seriously, my husband is the math guy. I am not. But I will tell you, you need to know your numbers. Your numbers are everything, right? The amount of revenue you own, the amount of revenue you influence. Because I have been able to go get this money. No questions asked. Well, questions asked, but yeah. easy to justify and easy to explain, because I was able to articulate how these things, these resources, whether it be technology, whether it be headcount, are going to contribute to the maintenance of what is usually 70% of, maybe more, of the company's revenue already,
right.
and then being able to grow that. So right. if you can't tell the story using data and using your revenue metrics to go and make the justifications for your software, for your people, for your training and enablement, all of these things, you're doing it wrong.
That's right.
It's all got to be justified with your numbers. That's it. You're going to a CFO to ask for this, right? Maybe you need a CTO or somebody else to sign off on it. But at the end of the day, it's a numbers game. Your CFO is the one that's going to approve your budget. It's going to be able to make that case. You have to be able to go to them and explain it in their language. And guess what? Their language is money, right? You got to be able to talk it.
No, that's right. And when you talk about math, it's not crazy. Go get your data scientist on this thing either to find some loopholes in it. And it's literally like, this is how much revenue we're holding on right now, right? It's crazy.
Right. And so, and let's talk about it through the lens of the economic times that we're sitting in right now. I don't know about you, what I'm hearing from folks, sales are slowing, right? Yes, they're not stopping, but people are being more conservative. Deal cycles are taking a little bit longer because people want to make sure they're making good fiscal decisions, as they should. So I applaud companies who are doing their due diligence to make sure that they're investing appropriately and spending within their means. Good for you. But guess what? Slowing that sales pipeline is also influencing your business growth trajectory. So CS now, more than ever, has a greater impact, right? You've got to be able to preserve your customer base, keep that revenue in check, right? We've even seen, you know, depending on what your model is, if you're a licensing model based on headcount and companies are doing layoffs, you got to be careful, right?
Yeah.
Even if you're able to preserve the logo, you're not going to be able to preserve all of that revenue. So we've got to be able to tell a story about what value all of these things is doing for the business in the long-term trajectory, because we all know what that leaky bucket looks like. If you've got more dollars going out than coming in, guys, again, not a math person, it just makes sense. You have to be able to maintain your revenue.
All fired up.
All fired up. 9 a.m. Eastern, all fired up on this topic.
I'm going to get you even more fired up. The ones I talk to, they never have that conversation. What I'm always hearing is like, well, the handoff from sales is bad. The product's a little buggy. There's not enough documentation. Oh, look at you. Like, you're like, look like the Rock with no nostrils flaring right now.
Jeff, listen, I get it. I get it. The world is not a perfect place. But if we play the victim, we are the victim. Get out of your own way and realize you're never going to get 100% perfect customers coming over from sale, right? Not every customer is going to be your core ICP.
Right.
I don't know a salesperson, especially again now, who's turning away dollars, right? So as a CS leader, you have to be prepared, right? Understand what you're getting from sales and then modify how you make that work. The problem is that there's no creative ideology about what do you do if it isn't your core ICP? Right. There is no one size fits all model in CS. You have to be prepared for that. Guess what? Okay, so sales sold a customer that isn't your ICP. Great, get creative, right? Work on that. There's a million other things, right? Like, oh, the product doesn't work. Guess what? I have never purchased a software nor worked for a software company that didn't have some flaws. Let's get with it. So if you have issues and your customers are leaving because of it, you got to be able to tell that story though, right? Here's the other thing. Let's just not sit on the information that we have. At Client Success, we have a part of our product, which we call our pulse, which we are capturing every single risk factor in every single customer. And guess what? I'm looking at my large deals. And if I've got risk that is associated with product, guess who I'm talking to about it? The product team. We've got to get ahead of it. So guess what? It's not going to be perfect, but make sure that what your product team is working on is going to help you continue to preserve revenue.
Absolutely. It's
conversations and collaboration. That's not happening because we're victims and we sit there and we go, wow, the product doesn't work. I get it. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
Work with your team so they're focused on the right things.
No, I hear you. And also on that note, people will fall victim for trying to build everything for the one big client. But I say one big client A is looking for big feature one, right? But let's go add up, all the other clients that are asking for this one feature. And I'm guaranteeing you that the ARR is going to be higher for what they're asking for instead of what the one big customer is. But everybody's like, no, big logo A, they need this thing. And so we're devoting all our time to that. And it's like, again, be smart with the numbers, right? Show exactly what the situation is. And then you can be like, oh no, but you guys just went and built all that one thing for, well, did you know that that's what other people were asking for? Again, it's the victim. We're trying not to get.
But this is where data is like your friend, right? You have to be able to embrace and use the information you have at your disposal. And I get it. Not everyone has a tech stack that's going to give them insights to every single thing that they need to use to tell the best story, but you have to work with what you got, right? You have to be able to influence the business in the right way that is going to drive it forward. That is what we're responsible for. We've got to get away from the language of I feel, I think. No, the data shows us X. Here's what I'm saying. If as a collective executive leadership team, we decide to not do X, here is the impact of that.
100%.
Right? Yeah. My vote is for the thing that has the positive business impact. But if every other leader in the room is saying no, that's not on me, right? But at least I brought the right data, the right insights, the right information for us to make an informed decision.
Yeah, and we both had that conversation. You got to have the intestinal fortitude to be able to say that. Okay, so you guys are okay with us not doing that, because that'll mean this percentage will most likely drop.
Those are the things that. I know, I get it. It's uncomfortable to push back. It's uncomfortable to say things to your CEO. It's uncomfortable to say things to your product lead. Guess what? It's probably even more uncomfortable to say it to your board. But you have a responsibility to your business, to your customers, to go and advocate for the right things.
That's right.
Have the tough conversations. Back it up with data, right? Then it's not on you. It's not, I feel, I think, and then that.
Well, we knew this, but we
wrong. The data was wrong, right? Use the data. That's your scapegoat.
Yeah.
So it's not personal, it's business. Make business decisions.
I'm just debating whether to let you cool down before I bring up the next subject.
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know. I don't know if there's cooling down from here. This topic is this is an itchy one.
Okay, here we go. This is my number one pet peeve, but you may say this isn't happening anymore. So really don't like taking on renewals because that alters our just valuable friendship with the clients.
Okay.
Christy's eyes closed when I said that, by the way.
I love my dear friend Ziv over in Tel Aviv. Love him so much. He put out a very bold LinkedIn post last week, and I don't know if it was clickbait, but he made a very bold statement that under no circumstances should customer success own revenue.
Okay.
No circumstances, right?
No circumstances, zero.
No circumstances. He took a hard stance. And listen, I appreciate a person who's got an opinion and you're going to stand behind it. Good for you. Yeah. I will tell you, I have owned revenue and I've not owned revenue. And I've done some combination of both, right? I've owned renewals, maybe not growth. I've owned GRR, NRR, right? Like I've had everything in between. I am always, always more empowered, more influential in driving my business forward when I own revenue.
100%.
And guess what? I get it. Listen, let's also go back to my answer that I like to give for everything. It depends, right? Because there is no one size fits all.
Right.
So if you've got a hugely complex, big enterprise platform and that is your selling motion, you're selling into GE and you've got to sell into all these things and you're going up and you're going down, you're going sideways. I get it.
Yeah.
You need a team dedicated to the commercial motions there. Absolutely makes sense. But let's be honest, right? Most of SaaS is not selling into GE, or GE makes up one small portion of their customer base, right? You've got to be flexible, you've got to be nimble, and you've got to have the motions that is really going to drive your business forward. Take the dollars, own the money. If you do it right, it doesn't have a negative impact.
Right.
I will tell you, my philosophy on customer success, if my team is doing what they are supposed to be doing, which is basically getting their customers set up, training them, enabling them, making sure the product is in a way it's aligned with their goals, we're continuing to support them through their journey. When we get to the commercial conversations, there is no conversation. They're happy to renew. They're happy to grow with us because guess what? I go into these conversations day one saying we are in a mutually beneficial relationship.
Right.
You benefit, I benefit. You're getting value, I get the money. That's what this is. This is not charity. This is not me. This is not a marriage, right?
We're
not
business relationship.
It's a business relationship. And business relationships are built on revenue. Like, let's be honest. So if you do your part and I do my part, we all win.
Yeah.
There's no
I'm telling you, I had people I was mentoring and they're like, I'm getting this being put on me. Like, do you want the renewal? Do you not? I'm worried about the relationship. My team's not used to doing this type of work. And I remember the last one I had was probably a year or two ago where I said, well, if you don't own revenue, what do you think is going to happen during bad times? Right. And now we're seeing it, right? Oh, that's a nice to have because you're just there to kind of make sure they're getting the value out of it, but you're not taking the commercials on it. Right. But I like the point that you brought up even more about like it empowers you to then like go get after it. Right. Like, we own all of
it. I love accountability. I love being held accountable.
Right.
Guess what revenue does? It holds you accountable, right? It's very easy to see the impact you're having and the impact you're making. And I mean, honestly, Jeff, there are these, like I said, there are these exceptions, but if we think about it, the rule needs to be own the revenue, right? Yeah. It doesn't need to be difficult. I will say for customer success leaders who are uncomfortable with it or who are unsure, it's likely because they don't have the skills or the experience, right? And so that self-doubt is what I think is driving them to be, I don't want it because it's unfamiliar.
Right.
It's scary to own revenue, right? It's like, it's scary to own a bag and say, I am responsible for the success of this company. Oh my gosh. Like that is a big.
But let's just take the argument back and throw it back on it. Like you want dev to and product to get their shit done. They're made accountable by the number of story points they get per scrum and everything. Like
everyone has data.
This is a metric for you to be able to back up your stuff and everything, right?
Yeah.
I get it. Some people are like, I just got into this for the whole relationship and the add value, this whole selling and renewing and everything. And it's just kind of like, yeah, listen, I wish I could sit around and play my guitar all day too. Like there's just, you know.
Listen, I will say if you are inexperienced in owning revenue, it's a good time to go get trained on it, right? And if you can't afford formal training, go with your sales leader, right? Check your ego for a second.
Yeah.
Go talk to your revenue counterpart and say, hey, if I'm taking this over, there's a couple of things I feel like I need to learn how to do. Yeah. I don't know how to forecast. I don't know how to have these commercial discussions. I don't know how to manage objective. You've got to be able to go and learn.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's
skills great that will last and actually help you grow further professionally when you've done it.
Yeah. You're never going to move forward in the position. You won't be the CCO. You can post as much as you want about doing the value stuff and everything. But if you can't own revenue and in that, it's just not going to move forward and everything. So what's the other excuse that I'm missing here? The easy excuse instead of focusing on the data and getting your company.
I mean, we hit on so many of them. We talked about product. We talked about sales. We've talked about revenue. We've talked about all these things. I mean, I think the other thing that I hear from folks, and Jeff, you check me if you're not hearing something similar. Well, this is what the board wants me to do.
I always hear that about the NPS story. Like,
oh my God. Oh God. All right. I'm going to take the NPS thing for 1 second because I'd be remiss if I didn't. All right. I will say something that is not popular. I still love NPS, but it's never a metric I would ever, ever hold my team or my people accountable for. Because NPS is how your customers also feel like in that moment about their entire partnership. And guess what? I can't influence that exclusively, right? There's so many teams across your entire business that contribute to that, that if you're putting that number on your CSMs or your CS leader,
luck, right?
Yeah. So yeah, so sad. But let's go back to the board for a second, right? Yeah. Like I get it. Like your boards are about profitability, revenue growth, whatever. But this goes back to your ability to tell the story using information and data, right? Because they're going to tell you to do what's always worked, right? They've got a portfolio. Some of those portfolio companies are wildly successful. And so they're going to continue to say and do and try to influence the things that they know that have been successful. But again, it's not a one-size-fits-all model. So as a leader, you need to come back and say yes, but, or yes, and, or no, but, no, and give them the information to say, yes, we can do that, but we should also do this. Or no, we can't do that. And here's why, right?
Yeah.
Use your information and stand up and have a voice. And I know it is hard and I know it can be intimidating. And I've sat in boardrooms that are painful and scary and uncomfortable. But
you know why? Sometimes because you're asked to back up shit, right?
Nobody has the information to back up.
Jeff, why do you say that? Why? Oh, that's an interesting opinion. Why are you saying that? I'm just kind of had a feeling.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, don't be caught flat footed. And this is where you go back to your data, like come equipped, or it is okay to say, you know what? I don't have that information, but let me
go get it for
that.
You.
Yeah. I'm going to go dig into it because I do think there's a story there. Let me come back and I'll circle back with you. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
But accepting somebody who's not in the day-to-day looking at your business the way that you are, accepting that what they're telling you to do is always the right thing, shame on you.
No, I mean, my classic story is like walking into board meetings and I could tell I was getting asked on shit just because it was in Venture Fizz that morning. And it was like, oh, you're trying to, okay. You know, you don't want to throw that in their face, obviously. Like, oh yeah, I saw that article too. It was great. Well, here's how we, you know, and you got to, exactly. But like, yeah, board meetings can be a little scary. I'm going to do... Okay, I think we're over the excuses now and everything, right? So I think, although there's plenty, right? But I want to be proactive and stuff like that. There's one other thing which was not part of this conversation, but I feel it goes to the big story. I just wanted to get your opinion on this because, Christy, I've been told by people very high up and reputable that the EBR is dead and we should not be doing EBRs anymore.
Okay. Again, I have so many feelings about EBRs, QBRs, all these things. Here's my thing. There is a time and a place for everything if it's what your customers need and want. That's
perfect.
It, yeah. Right? When you are internally driving activities because of an internal motion and KPI tracking or whatever, if it is for you and not for your customer, stop it.
Right.
Now, I went away, I did away with QBRs and EBRs. I rebranded what we do as our core meeting, which is called a customer objectives review meeting.
Ooh, I like that.
Because QBRs, quarterly. Why who am I to tell my customer who's already super busy that they have to meet with me for 60 to 90 minutes once a quarter to talk about myself, right? Because that's what the old presentation looked like.
Yeah.
No. So QBRs for me were like totally out.
Right.
Then EBRs, why I didn't like those is it suggested executive business review. And guess what? Let me just tell you that the people I work with in my day-to-day who probably aren't executives have more influence, more power, and are greater extension of the partnership than the executives. They sign the check, they should be informed, but that almost feels exclusive,
right?
It feels like the people that you're working with aren't important enough, aren't valued enough.
It goes back to this is a concept, in my inner monologue, in my company, I call this the, you're sitting at the kids' table at Thanksgiving, right? Yeah. Like, oh, did you want, oh, you've got your own little knives over here, okay?
So sad. It's so sad. So I hate it for that reason. So this is where I kind of rebranded. I was like, nope, I restructured the conversation around all of our customers' goals and objectives. And it's just talking about them, about how we're tracking towards those, yeah, right? Here's what you told me you need to do. Here's how we're doing. That's it. I'm not here
you
to talk
bought about our let me see if I'm getting this from you here, correct, if I'm tracking here. You bought our software because you needed something, right? You're either killing it, and we're going to let you know you're killing it. Awesome job. You're meeting your objectives. Or, hey, you bought our stuff to do this. Not really using it right now. Is there a reason, and how do we get you to where you be? Because then maybe the signature of the person who signed is like, going to get pissed off because their team's too busy or whatever reason. But let's get into it.
Sometimes the reason could be on us too, right? Like, yeah, it is an opportunity to have an honest conversation with your partners, right? And so come there with an honest assessment of where we're at, right? What's the state of the state? And let's own it. If it's on me, I'm happy to own it. If it's on our customer, they should own it. But if together we have gone into this partnership saying that here's what you have to do to be successful with this technology, if we're not doing it, we can't be successful. So let's have that discussion.
Yeah.
Jeff, I've gone even further. I've decided that even these core meetings, guess what? They don't need to be a meeting. It doesn't need to be 60 minutes. It doesn't need to be an hour. Guess what? Asynchronous communication.
Send a Loom.
Yes. I will pre-record a Loom. I'll pre-record a Zoom. I'll send it to you the way you want it. If you want a one pager and not a deck, I will send you that.
Yeah.
When you kick off the partnership and you ask your executive, how do you want to be made informed of how we are progressing in the partnership? If they say, send me an email, send them an email. Don't ask them to get on an email.
But ask them. What's the business love language here?
Right? Talk about it. Be honest and upfront, and then document that, right? So that way, when it does come time for you to share something, you're sharing it the way that they've told you they want to be communicated. And guess what? If you need an activity metric to track internally, check the box because you did what they asked you to do.
Oh my God. You want to cool down here for a second.
Oh my gosh. Jeff, you got me all kinds of worked up to start my what should feel like a Monday, right? Because it's Tuesday after a long
holiday. If this was the 70s, you'd be in your third Camel Unfiltered right now.
That is for sure.
Okay, so let's do this. And this is a surprise question, but it's not like going to catch you flat-footed or anything like that. Your exec staff meeting, because we talked about being empowering, being powerful, being data-friendly, data adjacent, whatever you want to call it. Walk everybody listening through what your weekly sometimes people don't go weekly and they go every other week or something. It's time for you to talk at exec staff. What are you going over?
So I do kind of like all of the customer health metrics. So for us, we look at our metric, which is an internal one that's part of client success, which is our customer pulse.
Okay. This
updated within a 30-day period. It's giving us an accurate read along with risk factors and success factors. So if customers are unhealthy, why are they unhealthy? If customers are healthy, why are they healthy? We also want to replicate success. So we talk about that. We talk about it across the different various revenue bands, right? So how are big companies doing versus our smaller companies, because not, again, from a revenue
segmentation,
we then talk about customers and onboarding because we want to make sure that we are onboarding successfully. Now, guess what? Our metric is not days in onboarding. So for those of you who are only exclusively talking about how many days your customer is onboarding, you're probably getting that wrong too. Yep. I've got customers who can onboard super fast. I've got customers who it takes longer, but we know this coming into that conversation. I am more concerned about how they are adopting. What is the time to adoption, not the days in onboarding. So look how your customers are starting to use your product, right? And think about that creatively because it's not just logins. Right. So I don't care if my customers are logging in, because if you log in and leave it in a tab somewhere and don't actually use it, so what, who cares? So we talk about that. Then we talk about our engagement. Now for us, we want to make sure our customers are highly engaged across the board. For us, engagement is we have at least had a conversation within the past 30 days. We do not like to go beyond 30 days with having a actual discussion with our customers. Now, for some of our customers, we're speaking weekly, sometimes multiple times a week, sometimes bi-weekly. That's okay. Yeah. It has to be within a monthly period. So we analyze what percentage of our book has not had an engagement, right? We look at executive communication. This is for our executive leadership team. How are we leaning into our customer base? We track that as well.
Yeah.
Outside of that, we are looking, again, product usage, adoption metrics as a whole, even beyond onboarding. Then we get into revenue metrics, right? Because again, revenue matters. So For us, we're looking at how are we doing on GRR, NRR, how are we tracking for the month, how are we tracking for the quarter. Yeah. We're looking at our growth. Where are we with pipeline? So for us, it's upsell. Our upsell is license sales more than anything. Like, we don't have a lot of extra product to buy. So yeah, our focus is on that. We're also looking at forecasting risk with licenses, right? So we're doing some research, companies that are growing, companies that are not growing. Right. So we kind of do a little kind of just analysis on either LinkedIn or Crunchbase or some of these other tools. Say like, hey, have any of our customers taken any rounds of funding, right?
Because exactly,
take growth.
Well, I do the same thing. Absolutely.
Inform future discussions, right? Who is taking around? Who is likely to take around? How are their competitive markets and landscapes changing? Yep. We've got customers across a couple core industries. We know what the ones that drive our book are. Across those, how are we doing? How's the market?
Yeah.
And so we try to look at bigger data that's helping us understand the world as it impacts our business and its success. So those are some of the things we look at. We also do, because I own support, I own services. For support, we are looking at a whole bunch of different ticket metrics. And so I won't go down the rabbit hole of all that.
I know what they are, yes.
And then services, same thing, right? Like projects, how are we doing? How are we trending? Projects completed, projects open, stuff like that. So that's a nutshell, but we try to make sure that we're getting a big enough picture, and we look at this weekly. Now, I've got data that I look at monthly. I've got data that I look at quarterly, but from a weekly standpoint, that's my rundown.
And I heard data. I didn't hear, you know, Jira tickets waiting for or things like that. But I'm sure if something pops up that impacts a renewal or something like that, you're going to bring that stuff up. But it's not your...
That we kind of have in the support data, right? So we look at customers with, again, tickets. How long are they open? What types of tickets are they? Did they go to development? Are they still with support? So we do an analysis across that. And then obviously ticket correlation to customers days to renewal.
Absolutely.
We're looking at that all the time, right? Once a customer hits the 6 month mark to a renewal, the data that we look at from tickets, from services, from marketing, all of those things now play a different role because the impact it could have, again, from a recency standpoint, greater impact. So we want to pay attention to that.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. It's just a clinic here. So I'm going to take a breath for a quick second here. So, okay. So we talked about getting trained and everything for like the revenue aspects of things. But if, you know, we went over a lot of stuff here. If you're a CS leader and you want to up your game, you know, for a lot of the things that we talked about, what direction would you point? Like somebody said, hey, Chris, you heard that podcast. I don't know about half the stuff or how to get there. Where would you point them?
I'm going to tell you what I told you earlier. Go talk to your CRO. Go talk to the person who owns revenue, your counterpart, your peer, your friend, your ally. If you are taking on revenue and they've owned revenue their entire career, guess what? They probably know a thing or two.
Yeah.
Go talk to them about the basics, right? Then listen, there are tons of resources out there on the web. Now, I won't say trust everything on the internet. I'll tell you the same thing I tell my kids. Don't believe everything that's out there, because posting and creating content is free and anyone can do it. Yeah. But if you go to find some credible resources, right? Like, and listen, Sandler, Challenger, like a lot of these websites and these methodologies around sales have content that is available. Sign up for a blog, go watch some YouTube videos that are produced from these credible resources before you even get down there. Your CRO, right? Or whomever is your most senior revenue person in your company outside of yourself. Yep. Go have a conversation, go talk to them, right? Like I think it's a great healthy place to start. Let me just tell you, it's also supposed to be one of the strongest relationships we have as a customer success leader. There is no better way to build a relationship than asking for help. And I know that seems funny and silly to some, but the minute you go to somebody, and listen, I love my sales folks, right? But there's probably a little ego there. And the minute you go and ask for help, guess what? You've just inflated it a little bit. And so now they're happy to help you.
Absolutely.
So go lean into that. That is your best ally. And they know your business. They know these customers. Yeah. So go start there.
You know what I liked about that answer the most is that you didn't say basically go inside the CS echo chamber, right?
Gosh, no. We don't want more of what we already have, which is probably not a lot of knowledge about something. Like, get out of there. Don't even talk to your other CS leaders, because guess what? It's different everywhere.
Yeah.
But the person in your business knows your customers. They know the market, right? They've had to make the initial sale. They probably know a thing or two about how to help you preserve that.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm gonna end the business talk there, because I thought that was awesome. And so, so the fall is beginning. This used to be my pandemic question, like, what was your pandemic thing? But I like to say we're out of the pandemic now. But like, school season has started. What's your big fall thing? What are you looking forward to besides everything being pumpkin flavored?
Okay, and I'm not a pumpkin gal. So that's not a highlight for me. I'll be honest with you. My big fall thing, Jeff, and I think that we share this, soccer season.
Oh.
So my daughter, she made the JV team for her freshman high school.
Awesome.
This is her first kind of like big girl sport, I like to say. And she made the team. And so I am really pumped to attend as many of her games as possible and go cheer her on. And like, win or lose, she will always make me proud because she shows up and works hard. So for me, it is soccer season all the way.
Yeah, and I'm sure you don't say a word on the sidelines. You stay there, you're standing with a nice little umbrella and you're like, nice little golf.
Yeah, of course I'm quiet. Yeah, I've never been quiet a day in my life. But I embarrass her. I feel like I'm entitled and empowered to do so. But I am there to be her biggest cheerleader. And I want to make sure she hears me. And I don't care what the other parents say.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, I'm the same way. That's great. Yeah, and first game is tomorrow. So
I got my first game tomorrow too.
Oh, that's awesome. What position does your daughter
play? She's, I want to say, left defender.
Yeah. My daughter's a defender too.
I'm trying to like remember on which side. She's left defender. She's always played defense. She doesn't like midfield, forward. Like, it's not her thing. And she's too tiny for goalie. She's a little person.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Yeah.
I'm short.
Yeah. Really? Because I can't picture. But then I get it. Yeah. That's cool. Well, that's awesome. So this is what we'll do. We're obviously going to have to talk again because I think you packed like 2 hours worth of stuff into a half hour. Let me thank you. And how do people find, I'll put your LinkedIn profile. Is there any other stuff that you want?
Two places I think easy to find me. One, LinkedIn, please just go type in my name. You should find me. And then the other place would be on my personal website, which is just Keeping CS Simple, which I also believe is very important for us to remember is that what we do is simple. It's just not easy.
Yes.
So head over to Keeping CS Simple because I do believe in the simplification.
I'll grab the link from you after this. But awesome. That's great. Okay. So let me just hang on for 1 second. I'm going to stop the recording and thanks again. Really appreciate everything.
Thanks, Jeff. This was great.